you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Please welcome the manager, number 30, Craig Council.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins, you know what I mean?
Craig Council.
Nobody is interested in your takes, I promise. I promise.
God, that
I
checks promise. Out.
What are they tuning into right now?
This guy over here, it's the Parkins and Spiegel Show. You're a guest, Craig.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Does anybody swim with Shota at the hotels?
I don't know. Should I know that? Should I know the answer to that?
I don't,
the weirdest
wondering.
Question.
I've never been in a hotel swimming pool, actually, in the big leagues.
That's good.
Okay. I seem to stay in a lot of hotels that have the indoor swimming pool. You can always tell a hotel has an indoor pool because their lobby will smell like a bucket of bleach. Do you guys have an indoor pool, or did someone just clean up a murder scene?
You know, we got a good action plan with your swimming pool question, you know?
Nico Horner.
Yeah, yesterday. He's got to get to know his players. Big fan of all forms of water treatment.
That's really interesting.
Craig Council with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
And the manager of the Cubs, as always, joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Thanks for the time, as always, Craig. How you doing?
Good afternoon, guys.
A lot of pressing issues to get to you about, but look, we've done our part on the action plan about the swimming pools on the road. We asked Nico about it, and he apparently swims. How's it going on your end, the swimming pool research, sir?
Nico swims on the road as well?
Yeah, he does. Sometimes with Shota, in fact.
Let's see. The last hotel we were at, we were in Tampa. There was definitely a hotel pool for mm-hmm. sure. I did not swim in it though, and to keep my record going of no swimming in hotel pools.
Okay.
Well, it seems impossible. We decided as a show and an audience that we don't believe that you've never once been in a hotel pool in the big leagues. We don't believe it.
Yeah, no. I don't think I have.
Okay, well.
I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah, these are the tough questions.
Yeah, does that cover the action plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It does.
Yeah.
Pressing issues. Let's go.
All right, so you're an even-keeled guy. How do you handle a loss like last night? We know how fans deal with it. How do you?
Well, I mean, it's normal. I mean, I think you have to, you know, you always take a look at the game afterwards and, you know, was there something that we could have put our players in better position? And then frankly, you have to move on and you start thinking about the next game and what we're going to do, you know, today, I guess, is last night.
You know, it makes us want to scream and throw things. And that's not you to we've learned enough about you to know that's not you. What do you do to process the emotions?
I mean, the game kind of requires you to, you know, when there's results coming at you so fast as this game does, it requires you to move on fast. And because when you don't, and in my opinion, when you don't, then that's when mistakes can come. And so you're required to do it. And I think the players are good at doing it as well. You get trained to do it. It's what the baseball schedule and the number of games we play requires you to do. So it's a teacher from that perspective. And I think, and you also have to be yourself, man. I mean, you can't, you know, you gotta be who you are and you gotta do it the way that's made you successful and made you, you know, made this work for you. So trying to do something that you're not, doesn't work for anybody.
That's well said. And I think there's a lot of people wondering, like, where's the fire from Council? Like, why does he go out there and get himself thrown out? I mean, that's not you, you know, but the personality mix on a coaching staff is interesting. Do you have a fun and slightly crazy personality somewhere on that coaching staff? Like, is there a guy, cause we're told that somebody like that can matter for a clubhouse. Do you have somebody like that on staff?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to put labels on anybody. I don't think that's fair. But I think you're right in that everybody has a responsibility in leadership, and they have to lead in a way that kind of suits their personality. Absolutely. And I think that includes your players as well. And I think everybody, no matter what, you know, age they are, or experience level, has to take on that responsibility. And I absolutely think we have coaches and a group around the staff in general that can provide that.
Yeah, we were talking to Nico about how do you keep it loose, and you don't want to be like laughing all the time when you're struggling, because that would almost come off as disrespectful, but you also don't want to be squeezing the bat too hard, and it's a fine balance. Do you get the sense that balance is intact, or are guys collectively pressing?
No, I think our guys have done a good job of like sticking to who they are, and I think that's really important. I mean, it doesn't like we are putting on a show in a way, you know.
Yeah,
this is entertainment in a big way, but it's also about how do you get the best performance out of yourself, and that requires you to be who you are, right? So there's a balance in that for sure, but I think our guys have been true to themselves, and I think that's important.
So a few odds and ends from last night. Is there a Mike Tauchman update?
Yeah, Mike has he's got a left groin strain. It's an IL placement. We're looking at probably around, it's about 4 weeks to kind of heal. I mean, we'll obviously listen to the patient, see how he progresses, but it's going to be, he's going to have a bit of healing time here.
And is Master Boney the corresponding move?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So that's tough, man. Talkman's been so good.
Yeah, leads the team in OBP.
And so flexible and to use in different ways. That's tough. On the Master Boney choice, did you consider one of the more powerful bats, like Canario or even Shaw for third base, Owen Casey? Why Miles?
Well, I think just with the roster construction right now, we've been kind of, you know, one of these guys has been sitting every night. And so our thought for me is that it puts Pete in the lineup every day, or Tauchman in the lineup, or Bush was sitting. So those guys just become, they're going to be in the lineup every day. And Mastro becomes essentially a bench piece. We just didn't see, you know, at bats for some of the guys you mentioned.
Are you tempted to get a guy like Casey or one of those power bats, even if it might not be the best thing for development right here in this 6 week stretch before the deadline? Are you personally tempted to have a piece like that?
Well, we're trying to put the best team out there right now. And I mean, frankly, I wasn't sure how I'd fit Owen Casey in a lineup on a daily basis.
So that's that piece. Last night you said that you did not anticipate going away from Neris in a save situation. Still feel that way after time to sleep on it? Safe situation tonight, ball goes back to Neris?
Yeah, I think the important thing to remember here is that we've got to get 27 outs every night. And the innings, the outs in the seventh inning or the eighth inning or the ninth inning, they're all hard outs, right? And we need guys to get those outs. And Hector's gotten those outs. You know, he's had two out of the last three, struggled with a little bit, but he's gotten those outs, and we need guys to get those outs. So we're going to have to absolutely rely on Hector still.
I think relying on him, no doubt, right? We were going over some of the options. It's like Wesneski's given up homers recently. Leiter, he's been excellent. He gave up the bomb last night. A lot of people around the game and in the game do say and have told us, like, the ninth is different. That's not where Hector's been the majority of his career. So it sounds like you attribute none of this to it happens to be the ninth inning for him specifically.
I mean, if you're using that argument, I think Hector has been there a lot more than any of our guys down there. And I think in the stage to get there, we're trying to use a lot of guys to get to the ninth inning. You got to get to the ninth inning. That's hard. It's hard to get to the ninth inning. You know, again, we're going to rely on Hector. Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting because Leiter is almost too valuable to close. Right? Because, like, you need him for, you weaponize him for those difficult spots with the lefties, and he's been terrific. So there's this, is there a misnomer about that, that the closer is always the most important guy from the manager's perspective in the bullpen? It's, I don't know if it's necessarily true anymore.
Well, I think every bullpen is like kind of different, right? And the personnel you have down there is different, and you're trying to put the guys in the best position to have success. And it's not just, I don't think it can just be one plan. I've said that a couple times to you guys, and I think that's where we're at with it. You know, when you lose, you know, we've lost bodies down there. And that's thrown us into some different jobs for sure and different roles. But every night we're still required to get 27 outs. And I think the order of those outs is kind of less important than getting those 27 outs.
Yeah, boy, you have lost bodies. We've talked about it a lot, and hopefully Yetzi Almonte back soon, but no Adbert, no Merriweather. It's three power righties. So I'll ask the temptation question again. Michael Arias, Ethan Roberts, like guys like that, you find yourself tempted to see what a young arm can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're always, you know, looking for development from guys and guys you think are ready to take the next step. You know, at this point, we don't think we're there yet. And hopefully they get there. You know, we're always looking for guys at the AAA level to push the guys at the big league level. You know, the fact that we're just not there yet.
We're talking to Cubs manager Craig Counsell, Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. One more injury thing. The Ben Brown situation, can you clarify, like, what happened and what we know about the injury at this point?
Yeah, I mean, really, Ben's injury has been a little bit difficult to diagnose, and so we've been kind of soliciting multiple opinions on it, and he's been soliciting multiple opinions just to make sure we get it right for Ben, and Ben wants to get it right. So that's what we're in the process of, just doing that and trying to get the right answer to this so we know how to proceed.
Yeah, because it was like a stress reaction, or was there the fracture? Did I hear the word fracture used in relation to the vertebrae, Craig?
No, that's not right. But there's been, you know, it's an injury where you consult doctors because it's a rare injury that you have to just get multiple opinions, and we just have to go through that process.
So what I've wanted to do is have Ben Brown start and also close and also be available perhaps in the seventh and the eighth. It's just, how big of a blow is it to not have that weapon for potentially a while? Because you could use him for any of those things, frankly.
So you want him to pitch every night?
I do. I'd like to pitch every night and in every role.
I told him it was a bad idea.
Come on, man.
We'll work on that. We'll see if we can make that happen.
No, but like, I mean, that's an important, how important a piece is he to think of yourself without for this year?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, losing talented players, you know, it hurts for sure. And you know, when you lose a talented guy like Ben, and a guy that, you know, you'd think would just is getting better, right? As the more he pitches, he feels like he's getting better. And those are exciting players to have. And so they're lost. You feel they're lost. Absolutely.
So, Craig, looking at some of the stats on FanGraphs, wanted to ask your interpretation of this. 26th in line drive percentage, top half of the league in fly ball percentage, but only 20th in home runs. So is this lineup trying too hard to hit home runs?
And I mean, that's a kind of a, I don't think so. No. No, I don't think so.
Okay. Cause
I don't think that's a thing. Like, I think it feels like a little league thing. Maybe. I don't think that's a thing. And Major League Baseball players are trying to square the baseball up. They're trying to hit it hard. And I think and they're trying to swing at strikes, and take the balls. You know, where the ball goes, obviously we know that the ball, you have to hit the ball in the air to hit a home run. That's right. You have to probably hit the ball in the air to hit a double, right? but for the, you know, ground balls down the line withstanding. So, you know, you're trying, that's what you're trying to do. But you're trying to hit home runs. You know what I mean? Like that's going to get everybody in trouble for sure. And they know that.
Okay. Yeah. Cause like it's the old axiom of like, I remember asking Derek Lee about it, asking Jim Rice about it once. And they were like, if you're trying to hit home runs, you're less likely to hit home runs. Do you think that's like, is there a mindset where that is true still in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think guys are trying to, like I said, they're trying to hit the ball hard. And they're trying to swing at the right pitches. That's the challenge of hitting right now. And I think that's been, you'd ask it and you'd have, you know, every guy say that.
How much are you willing to say this is just a crazy run of bad luck?
Well, I mean, I don't think you ever like default to that because you take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
But you know, I luck is part of baseball. So that, you know, that's where you always sit on it, but you take responsibility for it as well. And, so you never just sit on that.
The fans are restless. We deal with them. And especially like when we've been positive, you know, like I've been positive, and then when things don't go well, they come at us, they come at anybody. They're pissed. They're disappointed.
Anything I can do for you?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Craig. That's where I'm going. You know, the manager speaks so often. Do you feel like it's your job to speak to those fans? Like, do you think perspective at all?
Absolutely. I think it's important. I mean, I don't think, I think being honest with the fans is important. You know, are there days that we're frustrated? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, do losses hurt? Like, yeah, absolutely. They hurt. But, you know, temper tantrums don't get us wins. That's just the fact, right? So it's really to direct our energy towards the ways to try to help guys get in a better place. And, you know, we haven't been successful at that in this little stretch right here. And we got to do a better job of it. And so we understand the fans' frustration and absolutely, and you feel it. And I do think it's important to speak to it.
So if I send you some social media profiles, you could talk to some people on my behalf. You're all right with that?
That's why I want to know if you needed any help. I'll be glad to help you with that.
Hey, by the way, speaking of social media, did you see the meme? You were memed very well last week with the hat head.
No, I try to stay away from that. I think that's healthy for me.
Don't you think he needs somebody in his life that tells him when he's been memed? You think?
We could be that for you, Craig.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You guys are so much for me already. I don't want to put too much on your plate.
All right, fine, smartass. Last thing.
Oh, God.
The ball outside to Wisdom. Are you in favor of automated balls and strikes, a challenge system when it comes? It's coming to AAA soon.
Yeah, it is. It's, I think the way Major League Baseball actually has instituted some of this stuff has been pretty effective in that they're trying it at a you know, a lower level leagues, and then ironing out some of the kinks so that when it gets to Major League Baseball, it's a good system and a good product. And I think they still, the reason why it's in AAA right now is it's still not, you know, the perfect system here that we require at this level. So I think it's coming, and I think it could be a good thing. I just don't think it's ready yet.
Craig, as always, thanks for the time. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Thanks, right, man.
That's Craig Counsell, manager of the Chicago Cubs.
We mean a lot to him. I think that's what he said. That's what I took from that.
We already do so much for him.
You guys are already so much for me. We're not going to be the people in his life that tell him what he's been memed.
Only imagine how little we mean to him.
Interesting answer on speaking directly to the fans. Because, I mean, everybody is aware of what that guy, is making. He's making plenty. He's not making some extra exorbitant amount to come on and do this. That's a choice to actually come on and do this. And the score has always been, and it's what sports radio is a vessel for the fans. So he does want to communicate with the frustrated and let people know that they're trying to do it in the way that they think is best. Now, whether the way that they think is best is completely open for conversation.
312-644-6767. You just heard from Nico Horner and Craig Counsell speak to this very low moment in time for the Cubs, wondering if people feel any better. And we could talk about the ABS system as well, because I'd like to think that that is maybe a fix to one of the problems in baseball that is sooner than later, but plenty to react to, I think, from that conversation with Craig Counsell as well. Lines are open if Cubs fans want it. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. I can cheer, or I can just sit and criticize like you guys do.
Oh, how could you say that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. Each one of our regulars got in some good burns today.
They both did.
Yeah, they got us. They got us good.
Counsell asking if he could help me out with the people on social media was just awesome. It's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, why, yes, that's why we're asking you this question. Why I'm asking you this question. You know, he's such an interesting cat, you know? As you know well from your family's history and your history with him, he's a very serious dude.
He's a very serious dude who's gotten more serious as he's aged and his jobs have gotten bigger. And, you know, I mean, but he also, like, you know, he was never really, never was given like a 5-year deal, you know, was never a for sure starter. He had to absolutely maximize every piece of his ability to be the utility infielder, the backup second baseman, the nine hitter, you know what I mean? The grinder guy. And he grinded a long big league career by being very, very serious and being an NLCS MVP and having two rings and scoring a game winning run in game 7 of the World Series.
And then you end up in the public eye as the manager of the Brewers and your label is overachiever, overachiever, overachiever.
And hometown hero.
Hometown hero. So it's a different kind of public face. And I know there came a point where some Brewers fans were like, we're not getting enough. Not getting enough. We expected more, but it's a pretty small percentage of Brewers fans that felt that way. And they never had payroll and expectations commensurate with a level of pressure on the manager. This is a year when the Cubs are supposed to be good. They're supposed to win. Maybe not the whole thing, but they're supposed to have high 80s in wins and win the division, make the playoffs, and they're not. And you are the public face at a high dollar figure for a big market team. And it is a different spot. And I think the interviews are fascinating because of his demeanor and because of some of the other factors in there. And this is a game where you're supposed to be challenged. You have to be challenged because as positive as he is, or frankly as Jed is, about any sort of theory in baseball, they're still only like at the most, what? 70% right, 64%
sure.
Right, and you need the biggest sample to prove that true. So, I think there was a lot of interesting stuff in there.
So he says about because also part of the people are like, we want you guys to challenge him. Like people on Twitter yesterday were like, you got to get Jed on and ask him why he has a job. It's like okay, that's just not how the game is played. What would he say? I work until the Ricketts family doesn't want me to work here anymore, you know? But we ask the questions and he tells us the thought process. And then we can agree or disagree with the thought process. So like Owen Casey, he says, I don't see a way to get him in the lineup every day.
There you go. That's a different answer than, boy, I'd like to have him on my team to help us win a game and now and again. they're making the developmental choice that he still needs to play every day, as opposed to being on this roster right now instead of Miles Mastroboni, which I think would give them a better chance to win a couple of games over the course of the next week. Not the best thing for Owen Casey, but I think would be the best thing for the Major League roster to have a lefty slugging bat that you could use in your Mike Tauchman spots this week.
Right, and so that's, but now it's like, okay, that's the organization stance. Now it's out there. Do with who you will. The young pitchers that you asked him about.
Michael Arias, Ethan Roberts.
Yeah.
Among others. Yeah.
Right. He's like,
we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. And so it's a totally reasonable question is like, well, if not now, when? And they're just saying, not yet.
And on both of those things, Danny, it sure feels like now might make sense. It really does. Like, it's getting late. Is it baseball time? Maybe you got to tell me. Maybe people got to calm me down because I'm like, now, power bat from the minor. You told us you had kids. We know that you have kids. Why can't one of them come up and help you slug right now?
All right, Galaxy Brain thought, this might be completely ridiculous. I didn't think about it until this exact moment. Protect the trade value because he's not one of the guys that they actually believe in. Like, they're a guy that you show him at the big leagues. He struggles, trade value goes down. You keep him in AAA, trade value stays very high. He stays very high on prospect list, and it's a guy that they're looking to ship out.
I don't think it would affect his trade value that much to see him struggle against the big league pitching, even for a month. Anthony Rizzo struggled in San Diego for a month, and they still had to trade a lot to get him. You know, it's like guys will struggle. Michael Busch had a brutal month for the Dodgers, and they still had to give up Jackson Ferris to get him. Like,
yeah.
That first taste can be one that people struggle with and not affect the value enough.
He also, on Neris, it's like, we're going to need him. And I push back. I'm like, well, no, we all agree that you're going to need him because of the injuries. The question is, do you need him in the ninth? And he says, well, if you're going to use that argument, he's pitched the ninth more than the other guys that we have on the team.
He has.
Is also objectively true.
So he's saying he does not have the LaTroy Hawkins or Arthur Rhodes disease of ninth inning means I'm broken.
Yeah.
And history would tell you that that's not as much of an issue for Neris from his perspective.
And again, you go over the, like, what he can't say, because when he, remember we talked to him at Cubs convention? He was like, I'm not a bullpen whisperer. He talked about that. It's like, I had great relief pitchers. I asked him about, like, what's the secret to you overachieving? He's like, there isn't one. That's not a thing. I just try to be process-based and stack correct decisions as often as I possibly can. That's what he believes is his secret sauce.
Yeah.
Being an even hand on the rudder and being process-based. Those are what he thinks is what makes him good at his job and has gotten him to have the long big league career that he did, be a favorite teammate of Hall of Famers,
yeah,
and front office manager. That's what he thinks are his assets. It's not brilliance with the bullpen. He was brilliant with the bullpen because he had great bullpen
guys. I think he was really good in innings 5 through 7 and occasionally 8th and creative in Milwaukee. But certainly last couple of years, Devin Williams, Josh Hader is an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
8th, 9th is easy. But
occasionally multiple innings.
Occasionally multiple innings, so he would do that. But he had Brent Suter from the left side. He had Joel Piamps, who then he could use. Like, he had interesting pieces and would utilize them correctly. So I think he's underselling himself in terms of the parts that you can affect. But yeah, everybody's better when you've got a knockdown, drag out, assured 8th and 9th. And he doesn't have that. There's a jet issue on the bullpen we should get to. But if we've got people who want to talk and react, we should hear him.
Well, 312-644-6767. We'll squeeze Mike in, Northbrook in. Mike, you're on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, interesting observation, okay? It's like a deja vu all over again for Chicago baseball. 2 years ago at this time, Sox were a team that had just made the playoffs twice. They're a team that was expected to win their division. They had Tim Anderson, they had Abreu, they had Jimenez, they had Moncada, they had Robert, they had Grandal, they had Giolito, Cease. I mean, on and on and on. They had the Aussie and the bullpen. And they were unbelievable underachievers, and they just kind of hung around, and then Cleveland beat them in a big series in late August, and that was it for them. Now we've got a team that hasn't even made the playoffs the last 2 years, but was expected to do very well this year. And I'm kind of observing and seeing the same type of thing. Guys that were supposed to be doing better, and except for the two pitchers, the Mexican guy, and I can't think of his name.
Assad and Shota,
Yeah. They're doing
great.
The
Aussie in the bullpen, the Mexican guy. Yeah. You're on a roll here, Mike. Go ahead.
I can't remember. Whatever. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That being said, what I'm seeing is nine teams in the National League battling for two wild card spots now. Because it looks like you're going to have the three division leaders and the Braves in, and you got two spots left, and nine teams varying from five above 500 to five below, and it's going to be a battle of kind of like mediocrity to see who makes those last two spots. And that being said, you could be one of those teams and still wind up winning the World Series. It's kind of a funny game, you know.
It is.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Last year, and I heard Pat Hughes make this point when he was talking about the Rangers like a week and a half ago. If the Rangers don't beat the Astros on the final day of the season last year, they don't make the playoffs. They don't make the playoffs.
Right.
They won the World Series.
Yeah, but I hate...
The Diamondbacks caught the Cubs in September with two series. No, it's
I don't want the Cubs fan base, manager, players, ownership, front office to be comparing themselves to the Diamondbacks. Compare yourself to the Dodgers.
Well, you compare yourself to the Rangers. I'm okay with that. Because the Rangers, and not the happenstance of it, but look at the money the Rangers have spent over the last couple of years.
Right, I'm just saying, planning for we can get into the playoffs and anything can happen, and being comfortable operating in the mid-80s for a win expectation, and then you just hope that playoff luck and baseball luck and good manager, like that's not what you're supposed to be.
I agree, and this is where we get to Jed and we get to Tom.
Yeah, what were you going to say about Jed?
Remember Jed apologizing to David Ross and the public about the bullpen last year? Remember that last year?
Yeah.
Remember he said, yeah, that's on me. I gave David a rough bullpen last year. He should probably come out and say the exact same thing this year.
Well, he did that much later in the season.
I know.
Didn't he do that after the season?
No, he did it during the season. He did it during.
He did?
Oh, absolutely. Right.
Lifestyle choices have made me forget that.
That's okay. But he pointed the thumb about the bullpen last year in midseason and tried to take the heat off of David about it. And here's another year and another bullpen. And they've got an organizational bullpen philosophy of we can take guys and turn them into things with our pitch lab that has proven true sometimes. They did it with Scott F. Ross and then turned that into Hayden Wesneski, right?
Well, and the flip side is spending big money on long-term contracts for relief pitchers that often don't work out well either.
No, I know, but they've also like spent medium money on some bullpen, some veterans, and tried to tweak them with something and do it. But like, and they did it with Mark Leiter. They've got a couple of success stories with Leiter and with Efros. I don't know if they've done anything to Tyson Miller to make him be nails since he got here or not, but there is some arrogance as to how they think about the bullpen as an organization that I believe has bit them in the ass both of these last two seasons.
Last year we had Gibbons, and we've had all these different guys. We've candidly done a really good job of finding relievers that could come in and throw high leverage innings at a relatively low cost on 1 year deals. And we've been building bullpens that way for a while. And this year, that hasn't worked yet, and that's on me.
So that's last year on May 23rd. That was about the 2023 bullpen. And I don't know if he said anything like it, but he ought to be asked the same, because I think that organizational bullpen philosophy is not going so well right now.
No. Not much is going so well right now. But we believe that we do have Cubs fun and maybe a one of one.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's any show that can do it, it's us. Next on
the
Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the Score.
Now the 3-2. Called strike three. Came back with a similar pitch. This time, Javier Assad gets the call from Manny Gonzalez.
Looking for fun in this Cubs season has been at times very difficult. Most people would point right to Shota Imanaga.
Great fun. Love his whole vibe. Everything about what he's doing. And also, oh, by the way, he's really good.
But a 1B, a worthy 1B, at least in terms of positivity and good, would mm-hmm. be Javier Assad. He's accumulated nearly 2.5 war already, a 2.75 ERA across 15 starts, validating his strong performance last year. The man is not a free agent until 2029. This is a very valuable piece and good player on the Chicago Cubs, and you have uncovered some fun.
Oh, man. His walk-up song last night, and Andy Martinez from Marquee tweeted about it, but I'd actually heard it from one of my inside moles. You know, I've got people.
Well, yeah, you're very connected.
Yeah, right. Well,
should examine, by the way, Spieg's playing his flyout to Nico Horner at some point, by the way.
What's to examine? I think it made sense. All right. We talked it through before.
And yeah. Nico led us to the play.
That's above all.
He talked about Patrick Wisdom. Then he said, I also left some runs out there. And the guy doing the show in the interview made the call.
That was when he had to do it. Now,
okay. Right.
Danny could have stepped in and set me up, but oh no, that would be.
And then Nico validated it. And he said, I love that the play-by-play guy believes in me.
All right.
It is awkward.
But I guess there's nothing to examine.
No, I think it is. Because
Danny, there's nothing to examine.
From a radio perspective, there's the ego of setting up your own sound, but there's also the awkwardness of your own voice setting up your own voice. I hate that.
Well,
it never sounds good, in my opinion.
In that scenario, that was the only way it was going to happen.
My opinion, too, by the way.
Right?
Yeah,
absolutely. But sorry.
Go voice to voice.
Back to what your insiders told us about Javier Assad.
His walk-up song last night was by a band known as Banda Corona del Rey. And the song is called Javier Assad. Javier Assad walked out to the mound to a song that was written about him and is called his name. And I ask you, Danny, is that one of one in the history of baseball? Has anybody ever had a walk-up song that is a song written by an existing band named after them?
Yeah. I mean, do you think that, like, did Derek Jeter ever have, like, a walk-up song where, like, he was, like, name-checked in a hip-hop song or something like that?
I don't know. But that's just a name-check.
It's just a name-check.
Gift Basket.
Gift Basket. I'm just thinking about it. Like, that's probably a song named for a baseball player.
Desastre Personal.
Let's listen to Javier Assad by Banda Corona del Rey, shall we? Alright.
Wojo is shaking in their boots.
This is how we do it!
This is how
we can hear that song again.
Thank you, John. And the last caller who correctly identified Javier Assad as that Mexican guy.
You got the Aussie in the bullpen, that Mexican guy. I was like, we got to stop you before you start mentioning anyone else on the team.
Dangerous, Mike in Northbrook. But I think now it's time for a reaction to the song, a musical critique. Danny Parkins, your thoughts?
I got to be honest, I don't have the ability to differentiate between this and any other song I may have heard in Spanish. But that's because I can't differentiate. All country music sounds the same. All rap music sounds the same. All rock and roll sounds the same.
Okay.
All songs of every genre sound the same to me.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying that a rap song sounds like a country song. Sounds like.
No, this is a chromosomal issue.
I'm saying that every song.
You are. There is something. There's something wrong in your DNA.
Yeah, I get it.
I can't
differentiate this between like a mariachi band or anything else.
What is that?
It all sounds the same.
I mean, is he born with that, Shane? I don't think that's acquired.
You called it chromosomal.
That's not inherently, you know.
I understand. It's fine. I'm not offended.
Yeah, no.
I think it speaks when you're not interested in something, you're going to pay attention to the details less than if you were. Danny is not interested in music.
I don't
Mumford
know if that's
and Sons
true.
Sounds like camp. It sounds like
that's
the Lumineers.
The Lumineers.
Well, that's all true.
It
sounds like. That's what I'm saying.
Camp Lumineers, yes. Mumford, no.
Okay.
Sounds like all those British songs are alternative. Lumineers.
I mean, one of those bands with like the old style lute, essentially, and the drum and the clapping.
Yeah. You send someone up there with a kick drum and a tambourine, they're all the same.
Yeah.
With some vintage clothes and a bad fedora.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm the quick drum.
Come,
the kick drum. Right. Come.
Are they from Brooklyn or Scotland? Like, I don't know.
See, I got the movie references for you, not the music.
Yeah.
We all have our skills.
Baby want a 12 lens.
Yeah.
Baby want a 12. Baby wants what baby gets.
That's a fun movie.
It is Daniel Norris.
Why would I want to do the dishes?
You love it, Shane. It's part of the whole thing.
I want you to want to do the dishes.
Why would I want to do the dishes?
So congratulations to Javier Assad for having a band. It was synth mariachi. I was like, where are the actual horns? I'm listening to like a synth tuba in there, so I'm not so sure about that. Tanny, your thoughts on Banda Corona Del Rey?
They're great.
Okay, good. Where are they from, by the way?
Sinaloa.
Corona Del Rey.
That's why I love them, yeah.
They're from Sinaloa, Mexico. Tell us about...
So
Tanny, tell us about Sinaloa, Mexico.
You've done the research here, Tanny. What do we know about this region?
What do we know about Sinaloa?
Sinaloa, Mexico, backwards, is Guadalajara.
Love that.
That's where Big Baller Brand's going to be, right?
Uh-huh.
I've got a water coming.
So, I just a simple Google search on Sinaloa takes you to a cartel story and federal indictments and all
right.
such.
Hey, take note. Tanny didn't want to say it for a reason. You heard about those cartels, right?
I have.
Hands up, dude.
I watch Ozark.
Yeah, there it is.
I know stuff.
So.
You ever see Sicario?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a really good movie.
Taylor Sheridan, right?
It's fun.
It is Taylor Sheridan.
It's fun.
And he's in it, too. Would you believe that?
He loves putting himself in things. Why wouldn't you?
That's very inside, sorry. That's a mean
thing. Anyone who's watched Taylor Sheridan stuff knows he's got to put himself in it.
Mm.
So, one of one, Javier Assad comes out to a song called Javier Assad. We should have asked Nico about it, frankly.
Oh, yeah, we should have. We should. We can do it next week. I don't know if anybody knows of another band. Like, did anybody ever write a song about Reggie Jackson that became his walk-up music?
Yeah,
you know,
people are saying that Ben Zobrist's ex-wife wrote the Benny and the Jets. It's a family member.
It's Bernie Taupin wrote it. She sang that version. Bernie Taupin and Elton John wrote it about Ben Zobrist. Maybe that's the case.
And Biz Markie has the best rendition of it, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't know it.
It was on a Beastie Boys record.
Oh, that's hot. Yeah, but like, so, you know, it's a very sweet spot since the existence of the walk-up song.
Congratulations to Javier Assad.
Yeah, man. Like, if Joe DiMaggio had a song written about him, Willie Mays had a song
written
about
him. What about Jackie Robinson? Hey, Jackie Robinson, hit that ball.
That's right.
They could have done that a few years earlier, I think.
Yeah.
And incorporated the technology of walk-up songs. And
exactly.
Jackie would appreciate
it. So that's what I'm saying. It's a sweet spot. It's a small window here. And Javier Assad seems to have jumped through it. And aren't windows good, especially when the Chicago window guy brings them to you?
Yeah, they're the best windows to jump through.
Thanks, man.
Congrats,
Javier.
Congrats to Javier Assad. So, can we learn anything for the Bulls from the Celtics? Maybe?
No.
Yeah, Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.